and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 11th day of March, 2021, we are bringing in Eric and H-Town from Locked On Astros to talk about what? What do you think? We're talking about the Stros and the, well, let's be very kind and call it an interesting year, no matter what that's coming up in 2021. And I promise I'll be nice. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app or wherever you get your podcasts. At home during these still, let's just be kind and call them interesting times. Be sure to be smart and talk to your smart device and say, hey, play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen, or Locked On Today with the great Peter Bukowski, or hey, why not Locked On Astros with Eric and H-Town? You can follow this podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On MLB Pod. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram, as promised, as part of the goodwill tour of me being naughty about talking about the Houston Astros. We're bringing in the two guys who I'm proud to call my internet friends, talking about the Houston Astros and their quest to make it four straight times to the American League Championship Series. Easy for you to say. This would have been a chance at five times out of six if the Astros could have held on to a lead against Kansas City in 2015, but that's a completely different Band-Aid to pull from Harry Arm. We're bringing on Eric Heisman and H-Town from Locked On Astros. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fine. And don't forget, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts you'll ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On Astros and MLB sent you. And you can find me at Locked On, sorry, not Locked On Astros. You can find me at Eric Talkstros. And Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter. They can find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
And Sully, hey, yes, you did create a little stir in Astros Nation the other day with the whole Boo Nation. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it today. But
do you know what? I say take all that stuff, put it in a trash can, and we won't even talk about it.
really, Sully?
All right, only one, I swear. And hey, just because of that, H-Town, you were telling me we're plugging stuff. By the way, we here in the Locked On Podcast Network can only speak in plugs. But I will say that as I'm mowing down on this Built Bar, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you were telling me before about your masks and your Astros 411, all this stuff, because I think you're doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah, you know, I have a Facebook page that actually someone else started to hand it off to me back in 2018 called Stros 411. We have about 32,000 followers. We are all over the place, and we just launched a shop that people can go to. And if you go to the Stros 411 Twitter page, you can see the link to the shop. What's cool is a local business that a couple started that they've got three young boys. They reached out to me and they said, hey, we have a brick and mortar print shop. We want to partner with you. We have Astros accessories. We have hats. We have shirts. We have our slogan that fans pick called Unfinished Business on the back. And they can purchase masks because we know when the Astros bring fans in that they're probably going to require masks. So why not wear a Stros 411 mask? So check out the Stros 411 Twitter account. You'll see the link to the shop. Go buy. If you're in the Houston area, if you're near Katy, you can pick it up for free in store, or you can pay an extra shipping cost and they'll ship it right to your front door, even out to California.
All right. Well, look it. All right. Anything else we want to plug? No, it's great stuff. I think it's really great. It looks like Texas is opening stuff. I'm not going to put any commentary on that right now. But if you are going to go in Astros game, go to Astros 411. Be smart. Cover your face and cheer on your team. And I will note, and as I said on the podcast before, Despite the little Molotov cocktail that I threw a couple of days ago, I will never, ever tell an Astro fan to not love their team, to not root their team, and not to wear out their whatever, however you watch videos these days of 2017. Absolutely. Now, I'm not going to talk about any controversy because the present day without any of that is weird enough, because I'm having a hard time. And one of the reasons I want to have you guys on here, other than to extend an olive branch, but one of the reasons I want to have you guys on here is I'm very confused by the outlook of the American League as a whole. I talked about on this podcast that it's starting to remind me of what the National League looked like in 2007, where the Diamondbacks had the best record of the National League with 90 wins and a negative run differential. So 90 wins was the Everest of the National League that year, but there also were no 100 loss teams. Every team, you know, the Padres and Mets were one game out of the playoffs and one game away from having home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And so it was so jam-packed that it basically was get in, get hot, and then that's how you got the Rockies. You may have that in the American League this year, because I don't see a dominant American League team, but I also don't see a 110 loss disaster looming either. Maybe someone might say Detroit, but I don't see one team that's just going to be horrific like that or great. And I think that's good for the Astros, quite frankly. But the Astros seem to be the consensus pick for the American League West, and that I don't understand. So tell me what you're thinking about going into 2021, what it looks like for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think going into 2021, the Houston Astros, I'll just start here and then let Eric, piggyback. The 2021 season, the Astros are picked anywhere between, I think, 92 and 97 wins in most betting lines. And I think they can achieve that because of not a super strong division. But it all depends on the health of the pitching, how Lance McCullers does. Eric, what do you want to add to that? Where do you think that we see the Astros going this year for 2021?
Well, to kind of go off what Sully was saying, I feel like there has been a mass exodus of talent as a whole going to the NL. I feel like the power teams are in the NL. We have the NL West, you have the Padres, you have the Dodgers, and then some would say, what's the other team I'm thinking of?
Atlanta, San Diego, St. Louis. Yeah, I think those are all would be the best teams in the American League by far.
Yeah, and then you have some good teams in the AL in the NL East, but they're not, like you said, they're not the dominant teams we've seen in the past. The Red Sox are not going to be that dominant team. The Yankees are a good team, but they're not going to be that dominant team. They don't have the same pitching staff. Then you're the Orioles, they're not going to be that bad team anymore. They're kind of up and coming. We'll have to see what the Blue Jays do. They still have a lot of young talent, but they have George Springer. We'll see what he has to do, but they have a lot of young talent, and we'll see what they do. In the Central, that's what's curious, to see what happens with the Central, and especially with the White Sox. The White Sox could turn into they remind me of the 2015 Astros, a team that could come out of nowhere and kind of surprise a lot of people, even though they're a good team. Some people may say their pitching staff may not be there yet, but the Astros are definitely the best. I was talking to Jason Burke yesterday of the Locked On A's podcast, and he still thinks that the A's are going to finish on top of the West, but he said it was a 92 to 90 wins for the A's and Astros. And I said 95 to 93. Neither one of us said 100.
I'm leaning towards Oakland right now. That's not a slam against the Astros. I was like, oh, because you hate the Astros. No, I'm leaning towards Oakland because I think they have, not that I think they're a powerhouse team, I just think they have fewer question marks or fewer glaring holes. Well, and I gotta say, I mean, the whole idea of you have to get Greinke back to some semblance, because otherwise, you know, the
Astros making it to the postseason may be a long, long shot bet. And if you're going to do any betting, you should go to Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports teams. Now, look, at football may be over, but we got college basketball, the NHL. They're all in full swing. Baseball's right around the corner. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV for some reason. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, odds. It's the best place to put your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On. Hey, we're covering everything you need to know about Major League Baseball. Today we're what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there, as well as with Lock On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski. Your pal Sully's been on the show a couple of times and has been covering all the sports, and it's the sports news that you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Follow Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. And then Houston at this point. But to the point that I had on, we were talking a lot about the Twins and the White Sox over the last couple of days on the podcast. And this is going to sound weird. I think those are the two most complete teams in the American League right now. And not that I think that they're super teams. I just think they're the ones with the fewest glaring holes. That's almost how I'm looking at it. It's not who has the great strengths, but who has the fewest weaknesses. And there's a difference. It's sort of like you make sure, like, okay, this is not, I don't think the Twins or the White Sox are particularly great at any one place. But I look at them and go like, oh, but they got that checked off. And oh, at least a major leaguer's there. And there are teams, you mentioned the Yankees. And I've said this several times, four of their starting pitchers combined for three more outs than I threw last year. And you're banking that all of them are going to be coming through. And why they let Tanaka walk, I have absolutely no idea. That was absolute madness. The Blue Jays have talent. They made some nice moves, but there's some holes on that team. The Rays obviously have talent, but they've let some players walk. The Indians can pitch, but can they hit? And of course, you have the main thing that's going in the Astros' favor, in my opinion, is you have two of the most incompetent organizations in sports playing in your division, where the Angels have been given a descendant of Hercules to play on their team, and they can't even put a 500 team around them. And the Mariners are bragging that they're not putting their best team on the field. How's that working out for you? And so the fact that you have those two, you're the only competition. Texas has some talent, but they're probably 2 or 3 years away. The only competition the Astros have is Oakland, realistically. So I think that that's the main thing that's going in their favor. But the point I was trying to make about 2007 is, and this is a great hope for the Astros, is 90 wins gets you in the postseason, may even get you home field advantage, and get to that level and take your chances, you know, hope you get hot at the right time. And I think the Astros really should bank on that. I said, our goal is 90. If we can get to 90, we're in. And because this is not going to be a year like a few years ago where the Indians won 90 or 91 games, I don't remember which one, and missed the playoffs altogether. There's not that kind of strength in the American League this year.
No, yeah, I would have to agree with that. I know that with Framber Valdez going down was a big blow, because there was a lot of talk about him being kind of a sleeper candidate or even a top 10 finisher for the Cy Young, yeah. Because of the stuff. We did sign Jake Odorizzi, which I think Jake Odorizzi is a great signing. I think what they're paying him, it's a great deal for the Astros. Odorizzi didn't quite get what he was looking for, but he got almost to that point. And I just saw his interview, and he was saying that basically that he said this is a new chapter. He goes, we're excited about being in Houston, and with Brent Strom and the pitching coach staff, the coaching staff they have for these pitchers is key. And so we know, or we have confidence in the fact in Houston that we have the offense to go out there and take the field and hit. We've got, I think, it's just about as strong as offense as anybody in the AL. But again, the question mark, the young guys, the younger pitchers, the new guys, the Stanics, the C-Sheck, all these guys, are they going to not only make the roster, but if they make the roster, are they going to be difference makers? Because you have Joe Smith. Ryan Pressly looks sharp. You know, how is that Greinke going to do come June, July? Is he going to be back to old Greinke a couple years ago, vintage Greinke, where you know, he is composed because he's more in a routine. He's more in a regular season. And I think he's going to look sharper because of that, because he's a creature of habit. But, you know, here's the thing. We've got some young guys like Peter Solomon. I don't know that many of the younger pitchers are going to make their way up, but watch for Peter Solomon. He may be a name of someone who surprises and comes up out of the minor leagues at some point and makes a difference as a reliever.
Hey, we're here with H-Town and Eric of Locked On Astros, and they just made the prediction that the Astros are going to win 115 games and sweep the World Series. So go to Bet Online and liquidate your 401k, and if they lose, blame them. So, yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit because Framber Valdez's injury was the one that was the most alarming. Lest we forget, Valdez, he pitched well last year. He came out, he was, if there was an MVP of the wild card series, I guess, it was him. That he came, he pitched the final five innings of game one. The entire conversation about the Astros last year would have been completely different if the Twins got one or two hits with the bases loaded in that first game. Because if the Twins won that game and put the Astros on their heels, it probably would have been Minnesota would have won. The Twins were put on their heels by Valdez, who pitched like an ace. And he wound up pitching, he wound up winning his start and pitched very, very well against Oakland. And he won a start against Tampa Bay. He was one of the Astros' MVPs of the postseason last year and was kind of a, you know, for someone like a schmuck like me looking at him from afar going like, well, maybe the Astros are going to be all right if they got these young pitchers like this who are coming in to fill in the void. But if he's gone, I don't know how long he's gone, and you don't know what condition he's going to be when he comes back. Talk me through what we've got left. The bringing in Odorizzi was more of an act of necessity that they needed to have a physical major league pitcher pitching in the rotation. But the days of Verlander and Cole and Dallas Keuchel and Charlie Morton are gone. And so what are we looking at with this pitching staff?
But if you ask James Click, this was not something that they decided because of Valdez's injury. This is something that they've been working on for a few weeks. They've been having this discussion.
Oh, I believe and that. I believe that. Yeah.
So this is something. Yeah. So.
But it was expedited. Sure, it was expedited because of the need. Yes. It was something they wanted, and then suddenly it was something they needed. And so, you know.
Yeah, Valdez last year stepped up because of Verlander. So this year they need somebody to step up and be that guy, whether that be Christian Javier, even though he was a starter last year, he pitched extremely well. Mm-hmm. He needs to step it up and become that that Framber Valdez from last year, give you six or seven innings, somebody like that.
Yeah, the swing between, is this going to be a legitimate pennant contender or is this going to be a long year? You know, are they going to be playing in October, or do they have to satisfy themselves with a consolation Built Bar? And let me tell you something, we've been telling you about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. And now is the time to figure out which Built Bar is the best. And let me tell you something, right now it is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is a good one. Caramel Brownie up against Cherry Barcia. I lean towards Caramel Brownie, but a lot of people love that Cherry Barcia, and not just the deadheads. Meanwhile, you got Lemon Almond Cheesecake versus Carrot Cake with Walnuts. I'm going to probably go with Lemon Almond Cheesecake, but they're both really, really good. Make your votes. Make your decision. Have your voice heard. And guess what? Go to BuiltBar.com or at Built_Bar at Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Yep. Fantasy Baseball Addicts, you now have a new resource to help give you an advantage in your leagues. Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Season-long fantasy, boom. Dynasty leagues, what? DFS, what's that? Locked On Fantasy Baseball covers it all. Subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get podcasts.
Or you need somebody else to step up. But I think the Astros really need Lance McCullers to really become that dominant pitcher that he's supposed to be. He had his ups and downs last year. I know that he kind of came on our podcast recently and said that I believe it was in 2016 season, he really tried to come back too soon or tried to pitch through injury, and he ended up hurting himself a little bit more. He's always tried too hard, but he's in a good place right now. He feels like he's ready to go out there and become that ace. And he really wants to stay in Houston. So the Astros aren't really ready to give him that long-term deal. But if he has a good season this year, he's willing to stay in Houston. So I think that Valdez had a chance to start opening day if he was healthy. We don't know how long he's out. That's what's scary. The Astros have not come out and said, hey, he may be out 3 weeks. We don't know. So that's what's scary. They finally came out and said Forrest Whitley is having a surgery. So the Astros do have a deep rotation. Yeah, he can't catch a break. But the Astros have a deep rotation. Just imagine if Valdez is healthy at some point this year. Mm-hmm. Just that means Christian Javier goes in bullpen. And I know it's a pipe dream, but just imagine if somehow Justin Verlander deep later on in the season, it manages to come back. I don't know if he will, but some people have said that maybe he comes back in postseason. I don't see that happening. But the Astros have some
I can imagine Sandra Bullock in love with me too. So yeah, McCullers is really in some ways, and please take this the right way, this is not, I guess, pun intended or not, but is really the wild card for this team. And, you know, he was an all-star when they won the World Series in 2017. I mean, it's kind of strange that he was, but I mean, he was very, very good that first half. Unless we forget, you know, he was the one who got the save when they clinched the World Series, ALCS.
Yes.
He pitched, what was it, like a 3 or 4 inning save? Mm-hmm. One of those, I love those saves, by the way. That is an earned save. When you pitch, you know, that's, you know, I don't know if you heard, I did a podcast where I was saying, look, if we're going to start restricting our aces to 5 innings, then bring him in as the headliner and say, bring him in the fifth. So you like, you know, you got to get your runs in early because here comes the headliner headlining your team. And they pitch the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. And, you know, to me, that would be kind of an interesting way of handling, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, a healthy Framber Valdez. What's the deal with Urquidy? I mean, forgive me, I didn't do my homework on this part. What's the deal with Urquidy? Is he toast? The guy who looked like he was going to be the next great pitcher when they were in the World Series against Washington?
No, he's good. I think he said early on that he looks to throw over 200 innings this year. I mean, he wants that. He threw 2 1/3 innings in the game today. He did give up 3 runs and 3 hits, but he also had 3 strikeouts. He hasn't looked particularly sharp, but I think given some time and getting a little warm up, you know, giving him some time to take off and get off the tarmac, get into flight, I think Urquidy comes in. He has kind of that bulldogish type mentality where he's real quiet as a person, but his stuff is there and his stuff is good. Like Eric said, I think the catalyst this year is Lance McCullers Jr. Lance McCullers Jr. is throwing a changeup that looks better than it's ever looked. If you go back and look at his start from the day before on Tuesday, his changeup looks absolutely magnificent right now. And so you get McCullers going, you get Zach Greinke doing what he does, you get Urquidy doing what he does. That takes the weight off of what Odorizzi has to do that takes the weight off of Christian Javier. And I think if your front three guys can hold the line, you know, and they can give time, and Ryan Pressly comes in strong. Ryan Pressly said he feels better than he's felt in the last two seasons. And
hold on a second, yeah. H. I just got to say, who the hell comes into spring training saying, "Oh man, I feel like crap. This is going to be a long year. Right. Well, so, I may not make it to Memorial Day."
So, right. No, that is a great point. That is an obvious sticking point. But I think what he was referencing was, you know, last year he still was having issues with his knee. And you can ask Eric. I've never been on the Ryan Pressly as our closer train. But if he comes in and he's got confidence, you got him. But if you don't, you've got Stanek that you brought in. You have Enoli Paredes that you can put there. We have no idea Pedro Baez. He's on the IL. He's on the 10-day IL for COVID or whatever. And then Steven Cishek. Steven Cishek actually has the most saves in his major league career over anybody. We haven't talked about Austin Pruitt. We don't know what he's going to do. Blake Taylor, Andre Scrub, Brooks Raley, those guys. The Astros have a decent bullpen. What can the starters do?
One thing I was wondering is if you start to see, like, look at, I don't know what you're going to get out of Valdez. I don't know what you're going to necessarily get out of Urquidy, but you know, if you get Odorizzi and Greinke, when is Greinke back? Is he what's his story? Is he
Greinke's fine. Greinke's
okay. Yeah, I thought so, but I thought one of you had said when he comes back. I thought, is he hurt now? Did I not hear about that?
No, I mean, no, I think I just used the wrong phrase there.
That caught me off guard. I said, I thought I would have known that. I wonder if one of the younger arms like Javier or someone might be someone you'd put in the pen, you know, to give them a little depth there. One thing we have to remember also, like, McCullers Jr. is the grizzled veteran. Framber Valdez is the new kid on the block. They're the same age. They're the same age. So when we're asking McCullers to come back, it's not like we're asking a 35-year-old dude who's like, "Oh man, I don't know if I have anything left in the tank." He's still in his, you know, he's still in his 20s. Mm-hmm. And so you're asking some of these people to turn the corner. You guys are making me a little more optimistic about the Astros than I was when I hit recorded on this podcast. But I just think that there is a lot of what ifs that are going on here. I'm not 100% sold on the dominance of their bullpen, but they do have a bunch of arms who are good. They do have depth in their bullpen. And, this is always which comes first. You know, is the bullpen strong because the rotation doesn't wear them down, or is the rotation good because the bullpen is always there to pick them up? I think it's kind of the best teams are the ones where it becomes a symbiotic relationship, and the ones where that isn't the case are the ones where you're chewing your fingernails anytime you make a call to the bullpen.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Andre Scrub is maybe one of the Astros' best relievers, and he may not even make the opening day roster just because of Steve Cishek. So they do have a deep bullpen. And they do have a whole bunch of different looks, kind of like what the Rays have done in the past. And that's right. What James Click has kind of initiated.
There you go. Well, that's, I just think there's a lot, as I said, there's a lot that's going on with this team that I think is really, you're kind of weighing the pros and cons. And you're trying to say, all right, this could work. And if this does work, that's great. But I don't know. It's going to be
isn't
a big tournament.
Isn't that what every team does?
I know, but there's the swing of this is so great.